Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies and everything in between, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. And today I am in the studio with the incredible Joe Hobbins, who works in occupational psychology and is also the co-founder of ProAction HR and heads up the learning and development side of the business. So today's show is all about imposter syndrome. Sound familiar? Dealing with what's holding you back. And Joe is here to not only talk about her incredible business journey, and let me tell you, it is an incredible business journey. She's also here to share some of her top tips on how you can overcome your own obstacles. So, do the demons of self-doubt haunt you? Is your inner critical voice holding you back? Then stay tuned, because let me tell you, we are about to go on a journey together. Joe is in the studio with me now. Joe, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, mate. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, it's brilliant to get you into the studio, Joe, and I'm really looking forward to unpack what is no doubt going to be an incredible show. Are you excited?
I am excited, but talk about the imposter syndrome going absolutely crazy inside.
It is real. It's 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, Matt. It's right up there right now.
Right now. Well, let's kick off, because I just wonder, let's start by maybe, could you share with us, you know, a brief career history? Give us some of the highlights that have sort of led up to this moment in time.
Yeah, it's been quite an interesting journey. I started out originally wanting to be a clinical psychologist. That's lots of working with people with disabilities or mental health. And I started doing research at universities and things like dementia care and NHS projects and things like depression and schizophrenia. And I enjoyed it a lot and did that for a number of years. I then decided to take a break, as you do. Yeah. And while travelling, I managed to get into financial services. And I came back and I thought, I quite like this. And I don't know, you've just seen things seem to sort of fall in front of you, don't they, sometimes?
Yeah.
And I ended up getting into marketing and doing product management for quite some big brands in the UK. So I used to manage some insurance products and banking products. And then I had to implement those changes, working with a lot of people to try and get people to implement the changes that I needed to happen, which involved quite a lot of psychology again.
Ah.
And I love people. I love thinking about how people think, how they work. And so I went back and did my occupational psychology. And that's kind of led me where I am today.
Nice.
In wanting to help people, help people be their best. And, you know, I do that now in ProAction HR in terms of doing the difference. Giving people the tools that they can. But I know it sounds maybe sound forced for some people, but I really care. I really care about people wanting to be their best. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy in that. And so what can we do to help people overcome their own obstacles, like you said, Matt?
Absolutely. I can completely vouch for that. You know, in the conversations we've had, you've got this amazing kind of passion for what you do and that sort of real sort of want to help people be their best. I mean, that those career highlights, it sounds intense, but it also sounds pretty impressive. Like, you work for some big organisations there. So you must be really confident inside.
You know, the swan, right? Really calm above the water, underneath those legs are going 10 to the dozen. Yeah, that's me. I recently did a talk actually at a college and was talking to 17 and 18 year olds, and I was happily busting the myth that actually it might seem that everybody's got this and everyone's kind of super confident. And if I'd have heard me talk at college, I probably would never have approached me. I probably would have thought, wow, they're, you know, really intimidating. But actually, we don't all totally got this. Mm. A lot of us are winging it. You know, we're flying.
Fake it till you make it.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of us do know what we're talking about some of the time, but often we're always doubting ourselves. We have this voice in us that is sort of saying to you, do you really know that?
Yeah.
You know, actually, I think they all know more than you know.
Yeah.
Someone's going to find out any minute that you're a fake. And they all know more than you know. Mm. And that voice can be quite loud. And it's been a little friend with me along my career journey.
Oh, a little friend on your shoulder.
A little friend, yes.
Well, it's really interesting, because in part two, you're going to be sharing some of your kind of top tips or strategies on how to overcome obstacles, right? But I suppose what this is kind of boiling down to is this imposter syndrome, which is something that you hear a lot at the moment. You know, kind of what is it though, Joe? What is imposter syndrome?
Yeah, imposter syndrome is that feeling of any minute they're going to find out that I don't belong here. You know, I got the job as a fluke. They've got me mistaken for someone else. And actually, I'm not even going to go for that promotion because who am I to even go for it?
Almost talking yourself out of it before you've given yourself the opportunity to have a go.
Yeah, talking yourself out of it. And it can manifest itself in a number of ways. Dr. Young, she did some work on this, and sometimes it can come out in that perfectionist. So everything I do has to be 100% right. It can come out in terms of a genius, as in I have to know the answer to everything. And if it hasn't come easy to me, then I'm an imposter. They're going to find out. A superhero in terms of the fact that I need to be able to do everything all of the time for everybody. And if I don't, then actually I'm a fake. And then we've got the expert. So I need to be able to answer everything. And then the soloist. I need to do it on my own.
It's quite multifaceted. There's lots of different angles here. To be honest, I'd always associated imposter syndrome, you know, in my own experience, if I'm not good enough to do that. Whereas, yeah. Like you say, it's sort of, there's different angles, isn't there?
There's lots of different angles. And sometimes I say, right, when I'm working with people on this, which one do you identify with? And I can probably pretty much identify with all of them at certain points, at certain times. I think that superhero one, a lot of parents can probably identify with that as well. You know, I remember there was one morning and I was about to go and do a presentation actually on imposter syndrome. And I think before I'd even left the house, you know, I'd fixed the heating, I'd had a work conversation, answered an email, you know, put the washing on and done a million things. And, you know, as you say, we just feel like we've got to do it all the time. And if I say no, I can't do that, then I failed.
Mm, yeah. And is this something that you've kind of been grappling with throughout your own career?
As I say, it has been a voice inside of me, that inner voice that sort of started off the first time that somebody might have questioned something or might have been a bit of feedback. And I've sort of thought, okay, they know more than I do. And then it gets louder, and then something else happens, and then it gets louder and louder. And I think in the end, I lost my own voice. And if someone had said to me, oh, a good job, I would have said, oh, yeah, but it's only because they did it, or yeah, it's only because I worked really long hours. And diminished then anything that I actually did due to my own credibility.
Mm, yeah. And how do you find that you've sort of overcome it? Have you sort of done some training and you've got these kind of coping strategies to help you kind of almost push through or cope with it in a better way? Or
lots of strategies, and I say I'll share those in part two. But I think some of it is actually just that self-awareness. Mm. So now I will tune into that voice and recognise it for what it is and not just necessarily just respond to it or react to it straight away. It's about stopping and thinking, okay, what is that? And identifying some things about myself, like that self-awareness again, you know, I'm a people pleaser. That's what I do. You know, I go around wanting to make everyone happy. And that is a real kind of drive to get that external validation.
Yeah.
And without going too deep, you know, it's that internal validation comes from yourself. And if you've got that, you don't necessarily need that external validation. If we go around searching for external validation all the time and for people to tell us that we're okay and we're doing a good job, then actually we lose who we are. And I think I've said before, I chose my age now, but a ball in a pinball machine, you know, in the arcades,
yeah.
And you pull it back, yeah. And that ball goes around the machine. That's me, continually bouncing around from one thing to the next. Or the circus performer spinning plates. I would spend so much time and energy keeping all of those plates spinning in the air,
yeah.
Instead of just taking one off,
yeah.
Or saying, actually, do you know what? That's not a priority.
Yeah.
And so I've just become aware now of some of these things, of why I'm doing what I'm doing, and actually learned to think, I'm not a superhero. It's okay. It's okay to not be able to do everything for everybody all of the time.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, when you say about being a people pleaser, because it can be quite empowering to actually say no.
Oh, my gosh, I remember. It's the tiniest little step of saying it the first time and realising my world wasn't going to implode and not everyone was going to hate me. You know, talk about FOMO. I'm the queen of FOMO, right? So if I would be exhausted and tired and didn't want to go out and someone's saying, are you going to come out on Friday night or can you do this? Yes, yeah, of course I'll do that. Yeah. I'll be there. Yes, of course, I'm a good time girl. I like doing these things, but I wouldn't want to let anyone down, you know, and I'd be run ragged. And just that first time I said no, it was so empowering because I realised people didn't think less of me. Mm. I wasn't a failure. I wasn't letting anyone down.
They might actually think more of you for do you know what I mean? Almost, you know, because it's that, what were you, the term derailment, isn't it? You sort of, by pleasing other people, it almost detracts away from what you're trying to achieve or what your goals are in life.
Oh, exactly. And as I say, the first time that you sort of involve other people in that and put your hands up and share a little bit of vulnerability, it brings people on board and they can also open up and say, yeah, me too, actually. You know, you look like you can do everything all of the time and that puts me under a lot, you know, they're not saying that puts me under a lot of pressure, but actually, if you think you can do everything all the time, then they might think they need to be able to do everything all the time. So by saying, actually, do you know what? I can't. It then opens up a way for them to also say, do you know what? I can't either. And it starts that dialogue.
Doesn't it? Yeah, you've actually got something in common. You were saying earlier in the week as well that with this imposter syndrome, it can be, it can propel you forward, but you kind of need a balance.
Oh, completely. So sometimes some of these drivers can be helpful. And, you know, my imposter syndrome has definitely led me to work a lot of long hours, make sure that my work was really thorough and really well done, and really put a lot of effort in and think. And that's a good thing, right? Yeah, that has definitely paid off for me in my career. And I see that in others around us. So to some extent, it's been really helpful for me. But there'll be a point where it tipped over to being unhelpful, to the point that I'm in the office till 7:30 and I'm exhausted and I've got somewhere else that I need to be, but not feeling able to say, do you know what? I need to go. I can't do that. Or I'm going to finish that presentation at that point. I'm not going to do an extra bit of work on that. Enough's enough. It's good enough.
Self-preservation kind of has to kick in at some point, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but it never did for such a long time for me, Matt. And that's why I do what I do now, because I think there are a lot of people who have that same aspect or same thoughts. And actually, if I can just help someone was saying, oh gosh, me too, then, you know, I don't want people to feel alone. And yes, you know, there are times where it has to be safe for you to say no. You know, it depends on what your line manager's like and if you're in a safe space to say, actually, I can't do that, and they're listening to you. That can make all the difference.
Absolutely. Was there like a specific, do you remember, like, was there a turning point? Was there a tipping point in a certain moment in time when things kind of changed for you and you kind of the way that you, you know, dealt with the imposter syndrome?
Oh, do you know what? You say that now. What jumped into my head straight away was COVID. And it wasn't a conscious thing, but I think coming back into the workplace as I did after COVID did give me a chance to reset slightly. You know, I worked all the way through, as did a lot of people. But actually, I think we're absolutely so exhausted by juggling so many things. That superhero side of things, I actually couldn't carry on like that anymore. I got to the tipping point. The balance was completely out of kilter. And it gets to the point where you're about to break. It was almost forced to re-examine things and look at it and go, right, things need to change. And it opened me up.
Yeah, was it a bit like hitting the reset button?
Absolutely. And well, no, actually, because that sounds like it's quite quick. Imagine an oil tanker. I like to give the analogy of me being like an oil tanker, obviously. It's so attractive. But oil tanker going in its direction and realising you want to change. And that change is teeny tiny bit at a time. And I definitely have been in the Suez Canal and got stuck for a while, right? When that oil tanker wouldn't go through. But tiny steps. And, you know, it can be overwhelming sometimes when you think of all the things you want to do. But you've got to give yourself a break.
Sure. Well, look, Joe, hold that thought because we need to take a short break. Hasn't that gone quickly?
I know. You said it would.
But don't go away, because in part two, just after the break, Joe is going to be sharing, you've got 10 different strategies, different kind of tactics, tips almost, to help people overcome their own obstacles.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to that. I said we were going to go on a bit of a journey.
Yeah.
A bit of a personal development, self-improvement.
Oh, yeah. I'm completely open on this, right? It's all on the table.
Well, don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm delighted to be in the studio with none other than Joe Hobbins, who works in occupational psychology and is also co-founder over at ProAction HR. And you left off, we were just talking about all of the facets of imposter syndrome and dealing with self-doubt and the inner critical voice. And Joe is going to be in this segment of the show sharing some of our top strategies to help you overcome any obstacles that you might be facing. So, Joe, I'm really excited about this, and it's kind of, I'm in your hands. Over to you.
Very safe hands. I think part of the challenge here is to try and bring it down to about 10 strategies, to be honest, Matt. But in my experience, these are the things that have really helped me.
Sure.
And I'd like to share. And the first one that I always go on is pause.
Mm-hmm.
The power of a pause.
Yeah.
So important just to give yourself a moment just to stop and think, right? I know it sounds so simple, but we react so quickly to things that are happening in the world. And as soon as someone says to you, can you do this? Can you do that? Where's that? What that? Well, yes, yeah, you know, yeah, of course, you know, without really stopping to think about where this is, where that lies. Is this something I want? How does it fit? And not only does it enable us to think about what works well for us, it also gives us a chance to regulate our emotions as well.
Mm.
So sometimes we can feel that sort of emotions rising. Sometimes it can be helpful, sometimes it can't. And it just gives us a chance to kind of dissipate for a minute.
Yeah.
Which brings me on to the second one.
And I was just going to say the power of the pause. It's such a simple strategy, technique.
Really, really simple.
But very easily overlooked.
Honestly, it's so simple. And while we're pausing, the second one is to reflect, right? So we want to reflect on where we are. What's the context? What's the situation? What's happened before? What's happened afterwards? In terms of that thing, what is that actual inner voice telling me?
Mm.
Tune into it. And I salute mine. You know, when I hear that voice coming in, I now salute it instead of just paying it attention and responding and doing what it's saying. Or, you know, I actually think, okay, there it goes again. I know where it's come from. There's that little inner voice again. Do I need to learn from what it's telling me? Is it something that actually I do need to pay attention to?
Mm.
Or actually, is it something that's going to derail me and put me off course?
Yep.
So I tune into that inner voice and I'm reflecting on that. So then thirdly, when I'm reflecting, I love this. Reframe where you are.
Yeah.
And just because I think it doesn't make it true.
That's true, because they're thoughts at the end of the day. They're not necessarily facts.
Their thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's part of the process. And there's often, I don't know whether you've done this yourself, I think most people have, something happens and you might think quite negatively about someone.
Sure.
Or you end up going down that judgmental path of like, oh God, here they go again or whatever. And then I end up feeling bad about myself, you know, I thought that. And actually, just because I think it doesn't make it true, it's part of the process, really helps me. And then because my thinking doesn't need to stop there, my thinking goes on and then I can go, okay, but there's a different way of looking at this. I can look at it from somebody else's point of view. I'm not a bad person for thinking that. I'm still making up my mind. And so just reframing that is really, really powerful for me. Yeah, just because I think it. I've said it. I'm going to say it for the third time, Matt, because I love it. Just because I think it, it doesn't make it true.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? And when you've kind of shared some of these tips with people, what's generally the response? Is it kind of like light bulb moment? Oh, do you know what? Yeah.
No. Well, people take different things away from different things that we do, and people will take away that one that's meaningful. And this can help a lot of people. And I'll come on to another one that I find is, has helped most people comment on the circle of influence, which we'll come on to. Okay. But yeah, just to invite people, give themselves permission to question their thoughts and go on through that process is important. I would also add there, Matt, it's really important to put the full stop in with your thoughts, because sometimes you can keep going over them. And you know that overthinking?
Oh, I'm a classic overthinker.
Yeah, especially at 2 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and, you know, you're the downfall of your company and the irrational thoughts coming in and you can't access anything rational, yeah?
That's me, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say put a full stop, it's kind of like, what do you do? You sort of tell yourself, right, I'm going to think about something else now.
Oh, distract yourself, completely distract yourself. Yeah. But also, just to having thought that, I put the full stop in. I actually imagine putting a full stop in a sentence, right? I literally, because I'm starting to catastrophize now. I'm starting to overthink that, put the full stop in and retract. Okay, so that really helps me. Think about things thoroughly to the point that's been helpful, that balance again, right? But absolutely.
Nice. What's next? What's the next tip?
Oh, well, then we have, we're reflecting. And then we want to stay open, okay? Stay open while we're reflecting. We want to be open to new ways of looking at a situation, what somebody might have said or some feedback. Immediately we hear some feedback and we could be defensive and go, oh, no, that's not me. I don't like that. Mm. Or a new idea might be suggested. Always be open, because we just continue to keep learning about ourselves. Mm. We learn about other people. And the more that we do that, the more influential we can be and the more proactive and the more successful we can be.
Yeah, sure.
So things like, you know, the superhero feeling of that imposter, I should be able to do it all. Well, maybe, you know, should. Is that a helpful word?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? We were talking earlier in the week, weren't you? It's quite a loaded word and it adds pressure. Talk us through that.
Well, for me, the word should, really, I try and ban it when I'm having conversations with my children, you know, should be doing this, because it is pressure. I could do it, and if I am going to do it, I'm going to do it when. But I can get completely overwhelmed, and I sit with my children as well, with all the things that we should, I'm doing inverted commas here on the radio, should be doing, right? So I try and avoid that wherever possible.
Yeah.
It's not very helpful for me.
No, absolutely. And yeah, I think you were just going to go into your next point, weren't you, just before we digressed ever so slightly.
Yeah, so, well, on the superhero, you know, actually, alternatively, openly, I'm human, right? It's okay not to be everything to everybody. In terms of the perfectionist, it's okay to make a mistake, right? Absolutely. Focus on something. I'm better today than I was yesterday. I'm progressing. It doesn't have to be perfect. Is it good enough, right? So be open to some of these other ways of looking. It's really, really important. In terms of the genius, right? I don't have to score 100% on everything to make sure that, you know, I'm doing a good job. Maybe 90% is good enough, or even 30%. It's my standard. I can do that. Where do I want to set it? In terms of the expert, I know how to do it. I wouldn't do my job as a trainer if I thought I had to know the answer to every single question someone asked me. And I must admit, before I started, I thought I had to, and I didn't want to do my job. Mm. I would have stayed away from that career, the one that I do now that I absolutely love, because I worried, what about if someone asked me a question I didn't know the answer to?
Yeah.
Well, do I need to know the answer to everything?
No.
No. Do I need to know where I can get the answer from?
That would be helpful.
Yes, exactly. But so I can go and find out the answer, can't I? I'm never going to know the answer to everything.
No.
And so just being open to other ways of looking at a situation really helps and frees up that thinking.
Isn't it? It's such a powerful technique. And can I just ask, Joe, so the names, you know, superhero, expert, genius, where do these names come from?
Oh, so that is based on a book of Dr. Valerie Young on imposter syndrome.
Ah.
So, you know, I started looking at this a couple of years ago, when it really wasn't such an accepted term, whereas now it is something that we can talk about. And I love the fact that people can talk about it. We talk about it in the office. Oh, I'm just about to go and do a presentation. I've got an attack of the imposters, right? It's an amazing thing. There's a term called pluralistic ignorance, right? I love it.
Yep.
Which means that basically a lot of people have it, but not many people know it, and we don't talk about it. So therefore, we don't think that anyone else has it,
yeah,
right? The more we talk about these things, it normalises it and it validates it. Mm. And it's okay. Other people feel like this too. You're not on your own. So, you know, let's talk about it. Let's be open.
I love that. And what about, you know, focusing on the successes and not necessarily dwelling on, you know, if you failed at something, you know, I'm a big believer in it's okay to fail or not achieve something as long as you learn from it. You know, learn something from it, take something away from it. But what about that kind of positive affirmations? You know, how important is that?
So in terms of one of the coping strategies that I do is actually when we're so used to hearing the negative, we don't register the positive,
yeah,
okay?
Sure.
And we just remember the negative.
Yeah.
We could come away from this radio part today and you could come back to me and give me some feedback on this and you could give me five great things. And you might say one thing to me that says, actually, but that bit in the middle, you started waffling, right? So later tonight, I'll be lying in bed thinking I did a terrible job today, a really bad job, and I'll just focus on that one negative. But actually what I need to do is focus on the five positives. They're the ones I need to put in my pocket. They're the ones that I need to bank. And they're the ones that I need to build up for myself so that when I need them and I've got a moment of self-doubt, it would be, yeah, but you know what? You did it that time. You made a success of that. You did it well. Look at the difference you made to that person. Or see how you pushed yourself forward and you went out of your comfort zone and it worked for you there. Right. So we need to have this bank of positive affirmations to support us to move forward.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because, you know, the fear of failure can hold people back, can't it? And, you know, the fear of falling down. And someone said to me, they said, well, Matt, you know, if you're walking along the street and you fall over, what do? You get back up again.
Yeah.
And for me, that was a really powerful thing because I think, well, yeah, actually, you know, what is the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And our, like I said, our natural kind of, you know, response really is to, yeah, you know, you get up, don't you? And you try again.
Yeah. So that one again, Matt, what's the worst that's going to happen is a really good one to sound back to yourself.
Yeah.
And answer back to that inner critical voice if it's going a bit haywire. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Because actually often it's never going to be as bad as what we think it's going to be. Mm. And we deal with it. We're going to talk a bit about, I think, fear of failure when we get into resilience. But we're never going to learn anything at all without the risk of failure. And if we stay where we are now, we're not going to grow. So if I want to go and do something new, if I want my business to be a success, if I want to move forward, I'm going to take some risks and I'm going to venture into new ground, which could go wrong. Okay. And that's okay as long as I learn from it. And that's the point again. Blame, totally not helpful. And I think often, and I don't, you know, you grow up as a kid, isn't it? And you're arguing with your sibling, whoever it is. Well, I didn't start it. They started it. It's not my fault. It's their fault. The blame seems to be quite an innate that we do from quite a young age.
It's like a learned behaviour.
It's like absolutely. And I had to unlearn it as I got older that actually blame isn't very helpful. You know, what purpose is that serving? What does it matter whose fault it is? What matters is that we learn from it. We take away what we need to learn, grow and move on. And that, again, was another turning point for me.
Mm.
It's okay to have failure and learn from it.
Yeah, nice.
I'm not saying it's easy, you know, but, you know,
like
we
you
can
say,
learn from it.
Yeah, and it's that first step of that self-awareness, isn't it? Just taking a step back and actually being aware of the situation.
Yeah, and self-awareness, Matt, I say it's the key to open so many doors. It starts with us, how aware we are about ourselves. Mm. And then it helps us be a lot more effective.
Yeah, sure. Have you got any other top tips, Joe, in the locker?
I have. We've already gone, I don't know what number we're on now, but let me say where we are. So what I said as well is stay curious. Okay,
yeah,
so
tell us about that.
Oh, curiosity. I love that word. And again, another really powerful one, like the pause. For me, it will get you so far. You know, when we're talking to someone, showing that interest, what's going on for them, what's happening there, being critical about some information that lands on your desk or whatever, you know, actually staying curious can really help you with this and help you understand whether that is helpful. Will this work for me? Won't that work? So just another one there that I'd like to throw in, because the word curious, so powerful. What's going on for you? What's going on for the other person? It helps us look at things from different perspectives. I have another little one that I say, two hats. Often I wear my hat and then I put on the other person's hat.
And looking at things,
that's a curiosity hat. Yeah, let's look at it from two different points of view. It's important we have the two there.
I love that. Look, Joe, hold that thought, because we need to take another short break. And we've got some music to play, we've got some ads, and then we'll be back again for part three, where we're going to be delving into some of the challenges that you faced along the way, and Jo's going to be sharing how she kind of overcome them in her own kind of unique business journey. But I think you've also got some more tips to share as well, so we may have to start part three with some of those. So we'll do a quick summary as well for anybody that's maybe just tuning in. So don't go away, we'll be right back after this.
Live and local, Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people, and now I'm doing their sons' cars. My daughter works in reception, and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice. Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm delighted to be in the studio with the incredible Joe Hobbins. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Yes, I'm getting over my imposters now.
Oh, I love that. It's now, what is it, 5 out of 10 maybe?
Oh, yes. We're coming down now.
Oh, I love that. And for anyone that's just tuning in, Joe is, she works in occupational psychology.
Yeah.
And she's also the co-founder of ProAction HR, an incredible team of, incredible HR company that help people thrive, I think is your tagline.
That is.
Before we just took a break then, Jo was sharing some of her top tips on how you can overcome obstacles that you might be facing, which all kind of links in with this kind of idea of imposter syndrome and the inner critical voice.
Yeah.
And I think you've got a couple more tips to share, and then we're going to do a bit of a summary, aren't we?
Yeah, sure.
Well, fire away, Jo. I can't wait.
So next, it's about, we've done some thinking, right? And when we need to look at what are our options. And one of the most powerful things that I found, and I love teaching other people, is the circle of influence. And Matt, if you could imagine a circle in front of you, mm-hmm. and in that circle has got everything that you might worry about, everything that goes through your brain,
sure.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're not just talking about buying that new pair of Nike Pros, right? We're talking about here, you know, it could be how you're paying your mortgage. It could be the piece of work that you just need to do. It could be, something that your boss said to you. It could be what that client needs.
Yeah.
Everything is in that circle, uh-huh. right? You might have some things in there like world hunger, whatever. They're the sort of things that just go around in your mind. And then inside that circle, imagine a smaller circle. And everything in that are the things that you can actually influence.
Or you can control in some way.
That you can control in some way. And those are the things that I want you to focus on, right? So all of the things that fall out of your circle of concern, right? Don't worry about those. I know it's easier said than done, but by focusing on that inner circle of concern, you're actually, again, empowering yourself. You're being more proactive. You can be more effective by putting your energy on things that you can actually control. Mm. So when we're thinking about our options, about what it is that we want to do next, I have that in my mind quite a lot and thinking, actually, am I growing that circle? Am I working on that? And that can really help me choose sometimes my next course of action.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's powerful, isn't it? And it's almost like, just to describe it, it's a bit like doing a Venn diagram, isn't it?
Oh, wow. That comes into when we're doing our boundaries.
Oh, right. Oh. Apologies.
Yeah. You're getting your circles of concern and your Venn diagrams now.
Oh, no.
Well, why don't we talk about that one, right? So yeah, we've got our Venn diagrams, right? So take you back to school. And we have a circle here on one side, on the right-hand side, that's perhaps my stuff. What's going on for me and where I'm at? And then next to it, you've got your stuff. It's your circle. What's happening for you? Mm. And as we slowly overlay those circles, there's a little bit in the middle then that overlaps. Mm-hmm. And that bit is our stuff, right? Now, what's happened in the past, or for some people, those boundaries can get quite blurred,
yeah,
right? And I know I've definitely done it. Everything in your circle, I've gone over, reached over it, and I've pulled it into mine, and I've made it mine. Mm. Or people might come along and push their stuff onto you. Okay, or I might push my stuff onto others. And so again, another real powerful visualization for me to help me say no, to help me think about things, to help me take that path that maybe puts a little bit about prioritizing my needs, is thinking about those boundaries. Let's put, you know, reinforce that bit around our stuff. Okay, I can keep my stuff, you can keep our stuff, and then we can collaborate on the stuff that's our stuff, and we can work on that together. So I just find that really helpful when sometimes I need to be more clear on what my boundaries are.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not necessarily about, we're not saying be selfish. What we're really saying is self-preservation. In a kind of way.
Yeah, you can be giving, you can be doing, you know, as I say, with all of these things, it's what's helpful. So it's helpful for me to do that when I find myself, my boundaries are blurring and I might be becoming overwhelmed, or there might be so much going on that I can't possibly do it. So, it just almost gave myself some permission to go, actually, that's okay. Or again, being open to what we're saying, there's a different way of looking at it. I don't have to worry, think about all of that stuff. Maybe that's their stuff. You know, I could be really worried about doing a presentation next week and think, oh my gosh, someone's going to be sat in the audience and they're just going to think that's really stupid. It doesn't hit home to them. And they could be sitting there looking at me. And I just need to think, do you know what? That's their stuff, right? I might be saying something wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something. I do go through that process to say, right, do I need to learn something here? Is there some feedback for me I need to take on board? But actually, maybe that's their stuff and it's not mine and I need to leave that with them.
It's amazing you're just saying it, Jo. It's almost like you're kind of unlocking a door. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't necessarily give you the answer, but it gives you that kind of pathway to look at things in a slightly different way.
Yeah, that self-awareness just opens yourself up, right? So I think that feeds on to my next sort of tip, if you like, which is accept and acknowledge. Mm. Accept the fact that we have a part to play in it. Accept my stuff. Yeah. You know, I can accept the fact that actually maybe I've done something there that may not have been quite right. And I can acknowledge my part in it. I can acknowledge my processes, my processing. So I need to acknowledge that. But I've looked at my options, know my part in it, know which bits I want to influence, know my boundaries. And then I can choose. Okay, so my tip is then to choose what your next option is and how you're going to act. Have that positive voice if you need to. Mm. I have several friends, they know who they are, they sit on my shoulder. Sometimes you must have one, Matt.
They just crop up when you're least expecting it.
And sometimes, you know, you need to kind of go, right, what would they say? You know, and even they're saying, you know, you rock, you've got this, you know, make it happen. You can go shine. Whatever it is you need to hear from yourself, if it's not coming from your own positive affirmations, have that voice on your shoulder, because sometimes you need to hear it.
Do you want to do a quick summary of some of these tips?
I actually have them for me, and they're an acronym built on PROACT, which is quite helpful for our company.
Yeah.
So first of all, P, pause, the power of a pause. So that's really important that we do that. And then the R, we're reflecting, okay? So we're seeing where we are and what's going on. What's the concept? And the concept. The context, Matt. Okay. Then we're looking at our options and we're looking at things from a different point of view and thinking about what we can influence. And again, that circle of influence.
Sure.
Then we're acknowledging and we're accepting those boundaries, that Venn diagram. What's my bit? What's my part in it? And then we're choosing how to act, think about what we need to, perhaps with that friendly voice on our shoulder. And then we're thoughtfully acting. The T stands for thoughtfully acting. Because we've gone through that process, we've paused, and then we're acting with thought. Makes a massive difference.
I think it would be transformational for people, to be honest, because it doesn't take long to sort of run through that, does it?
No. The next most important point, though, Matt, after that, is then to reflect again. Right. So the true learning is when we come back and go, right, well, how did that work out for me?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, did that go well? Don't be afraid of that fear of failure again. If something didn't go so well, it's like, OK, well, what can I learn from it? Right. So that review and reflect can happen again and go back round that cycle. All right. So that will, and then it will kind of contribute again to our self-awareness of going, yeah, OK, actually, or I was a bit nervous there, or yeah, I wasn't quite sure about that.
Absolutely. And should we mention, so the team over at ProAction, you guys put on a phenomenal amount of events, breakfast meetings, online training sessions that people can sign up to.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it's almost like Southampton's best kept secret. There's so much useful content and you cover lots of different things, not just in the HR space, but personal development stuff, employment bits and pieces, the insights discovery stuff as well. And you've organised an event, haven't you, that dovetails quite nicely with what we're talking about today?
Yeah, we have, because it's so common for people to feel this way. We've got a day, I've done it with my colleague, and we've called it Be You, as in be you, right? Be who you want to be the true you.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And we've done a day, really, that this will be on the 9th of May, that people can sign up for and come along and learn about themselves, really taking them on that journey through self-awareness so that they can learn some of these tips. I mean, we're literally just scraped the top of the iceberg here, Matt.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much content that we cover. And people, if they're interested in that, they can find it via our ProAction HR Facebook page.
Nice.
There's a link to our Eventbrite there. But it'd be great to see some people.
Yeah, brilliant. There's more information on the website.
On that one, you'll need to go through our Facebook page. But yes, they can always contact us via our website.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It was interesting, Joe, because we were talking earlier in the week and you said that had it not been for imposter syndrome, you probably wouldn't have become a trainer.
Yeah. But because of that, you know, for a number of things, one is that it's pushed me forward. It's made me want to be the best that I can be. But also it was the first thing that I got so impassioned about that I wanted to talk about and I wanted to go about and share about, and understanding that other people have this. Mm. So it's that whole research, opening the door to get everyone just to kind of help people access that they're not on their own. And I want to share that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, isn't it? Not everybody is good at asking for help.
No. And like we were saying earlier, sometimes you can ask for help and you realise that, okay, that wasn't so bad, right? And other people will respond and it helps them too. There's something that we look at as well quite a lot, and that's pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And really, sometimes the first time we do it, it's scary and we don't want to do it. And then when we've done it, we go, okay, that wasn't so bad, like being on the radio, okay? And then you're more able to do it next time. So the more that we do take these little steps, the more we still, it's all about that growth again, and we continue to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, there's something I love doing on this show, which is so imagine that you're talking to somebody that's thinking about starting up their own business, or they've got a great idea and they're kind of on the edge, right? Obviously, you and the ProAction team, all throughout your career, really, you've almost been there and done it. So what advice would you give to somebody that's thinking about getting outside their comfort zone, or maybe they're thinking about starting their own business? What would you say to those people?
Don't hold yourself back. You know, don't be your own Well, be an enabler for yourself, right?
Oh, so that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, don't put yourself off. And if you are putting yourself off, go through this awareness piece. You know, try and look at some of the things that actually, what is going on for you here. Mm. There's something that could be going on a bit underneath the surface, scrap a little bit, but actually... Be your biggest champion, you know. We're all pretty awesome, right, most of the time.
Back yourself.
Is back that yourself, say? Absolutely. Have those positive affirmations ready, right? Have that bucket ready in that bank of those things that you can do. Have those voices on your shoulder to say, you can do this. You have got something special to add. You know what to do in this situation. You've made this happen. Not everyone else can do that like you can. There's something special about you. Go for it.
That's amazing advice, Jo.
Yeah, and don't be afraid of that failure. You know, do learn from it. That's where the resilience comes in. You can learn from it and keep growing. I know I've said that a lot, grow, Matt. I'm sorry. But
no, but it's fine. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes the failure is almost as valuable as a success.
Oh, I have. Yeah, what a lovely way of putting it. Yeah, I mean, you know, we won't learn. If we've got things right all of the time, then we're not going to learn and find a new way of doing things. So take it for what it is. And sometimes it's okay to kind of, you know, take time, take stock, and then go for it again.
If there's anyone listening that might be thinking, do you know what, I need to have a chat with Jo and her team. You know, yeah. What's the best way for them to get in contact?
So go on our website, proactionhr.co.uk. There is a hyphen in there somewhere, or on our Facebook page, and contact me. I'd love to do that. As you say, we often quite a few things actually are free because we're quite, as I say, we're passionate in what we do, and any kind of ideas. But we're creating new content all the time to help empower people. And be their best. We want organisations to grow.
Yeah, at whatever stage they are, you know, everything. And you guys work with anything from startups all the way up to, you know, quite huge businesses.
Yeah, large corporates. Yeah, global corporates we do as well. So all sizes, because, you know, people are the same no matter what they are. Like we started off how I started in the first place. Some people can come across really quite intimidating or put up. We're all the same and we're all human and we're all fallible, right?
Jo, I'm so excited for you and for the guys over at ProAction, because I think it's just going to be a huge year for you. What's next? Just want to finish off on that. You know, what's on the horizon?
Oh, gosh, I have a million things that I always want to do. More podcasts, more radios, TV.
Same time next week.
Yeah, but more products just to help people and bringing them out to make them more accessible to more people.
Do you know what? It's been, Jo, it's been an absolute journey today. And if anyone's just tuning in, you know, you can catch up on the podcast, because on part two of the show, Jo, you took us through these amazing kind of strategies for helping people overcome obstacles, which I'll definitely be listening back to. But yeah, Jo, look, did you want to do a quick shout out for anyone?
Oh, of course I do. I have three girls at home, Tilly, Martha and Elsie, and the two teenagers are going to be dying now. Hey guys.
Brilliant. Well, look, Jo, thank you for coming into the studio.
Thank you for having me. It's been great. I've enjoyed myself.
You're more than welcome. Well, if you've enjoyed this show, I'll be back again next week for another incredible edition of The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy, or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry, and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.